Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Guardian Hub Podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. Tonight, we're about to bring you episode 123 of our podcast with your hosts, again, One Short, with Kingsley Mack. We got myself, Sin, and the lovely Des Raven. How are you doing, sir?
Doing fantastical.
Fantastical. I like how you didn't steal magical again this week.
Gotta keep you on your toes, man. Gotta keep you on your toes.
Gotta keep it thick and fresh, right?
Right. Can't just be the awesome. Same old, same old.
This is true. Keep it spicy. Oh, man. So what have you been doing this week?
Well, I've played some Destiny, of course. I mean, obviously.
I think we're all in that same boat.
Right.
Especially with the last couple weeks of the season here that we're in now and Indeed. Epilogue dropping. But anything Epilogue else outside of this? Any other games of choice?
Actually, not so much as a played. Yeah, not so much. It's been, it's either, and that's not to say I'm not playing, like I've massively played Destiny, which I really haven't. It's just, I don't know, the past few days I've just, and if it hasn't been Destiny, I've kind of taken a break. I mean, I don't even think I cut my PS4 on at all yesterday, so.
Nice. I've just been to play a lot more PS4 recently.
Yeah. But, just a bit of a breather, I guess, you know. Never hurts.
Yeah.
Every once in a while to just take a little breather.
Might as well, when you can, right?
Yeah.
Especially pre-Witch Queen, when you can take these little breaks before massive content releases, it's always a good thing.
Right, but,
There's something that dropped here last weekend. I think it was last weekend, and dropped again today, the Back for Blood beta. We're recording here Thursday on the 12th, and it just relaunched or reopened again, I guess with some updates as of today, and I haven't jumped back in as of today yet, but it's, from my understanding, the makers from Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead. That's the horror game, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yep, the like zombie horror game, Left 4 Dead 2, I guess.
Left 4 Dead, gotcha. Yeah. That was confusing. Dead by Daylight is what I was confusing.
Ah, yeah. I mean, it's still horror-like because it's zombies. And it has very much that feel of Left 4 Dead. If you've ever played it, very much like it from just the beta. And it's not bad. Very updated as far as the graphics are concerned. So played a little bit of that, and of course, a new season of Rocket League appears to have launched. I have not purchased the, I like to say, Game Pass or seasonal pass for it as of yet, because I don't know if I'm going to continue playing like I did last season. I need to get back into the Valhalla grind since a new season apparently dropped, or new expansion DLC.
Ooh, nice.
But yeah.
Nice.
I might have some time here. During the these last couple weeks of the season.
Potentially, yeah.
But before we get into the epilogue, a huge shout out to Larman Kentucky, Larry, for reaching
make it?
Season rank 1000.
Nice.
Jumped into a private match with him, Kato, Ninja, and Retro. Shout out to all you guys there. And while he was popping his bounties to get to that point, I ran around and was shooting a few people. And then I left Ninja alone so she could take a couple pictures. But, private match was actually not bad. Retro and Kato and I kind of hung around 2v1. Of course, I was the one. And we were going around shooting each other for a few minutes. So that was a nice little break from the PvE, PvP standard grind.
Nice.
No epilogue. Now, as you said pre-show, you said the muzzle's off. And the
muzzle's
from this
off.
Spoilers, if you haven't played it yet, by now I'm sure you should have. It's a very short, quick mission. If not, you might want to close the podcast app of choice now and come back when you've played it It won't take you long to do so. No. But let's hear it. Unleash.
Unleash, as we know, as we've seen, of course, we do have some details have come to light. Such as Lakshmi not quite being a ginormous dick about everything. because it was one text line I actually did skip over, was the fact that she didn't know what was going to happen when she opened the Vex Gate. Because as she says in her like address to the city, she was simply going to open the gate to send the Elixni back. But guess what? It didn't work that way.
Nope.
Next thing you know, Vex... You play the last override mission, which happens right there in the Elixni quarter. Huge shout out to someone in our Discord that found it and posted it, I believe in our spoilers. And I can probably find this relatively quickly, maybe, probably not, because it might not have been our Discord. Oops.
Talk amongst yourselves. While you're finding that, as a housekeeping tip when it comes to the spoiler channel, we were discussing earlier, I do not know if Kingsley made the change or not, but I think he was going to set the spoiler channel to notifications off by default. But if you have not already, go ahead and set your notification preferences if you don't want to see the spoilers pop up on your phone or a mobile device. Make sure you turn notifications off for that channel, so that way they don't inadvertently pop up. And that's come up a few times here over the last few days.
We tend to go wild in the spoilers. There are certain things I definitely still like spoiler tag and spoilers, but yeah, we definitely tend to go wild. But yeah, it was actually the Guardian Down Discord. And that was Golden God, which, when you very first spawn in to that override, you actually see Lakshmi's body right there.
I did not notice that, honestly.
Yeah, it's on the ground and it's just right there where you spawn in. So she did. she dead AF. We see her body. Because, you know, that's kind of like a storytelling thing. You know, if you don't see the death or if you don't see the body, then it can be retconned or danced around as not happening, such as the case with Anna Bray. Yeah, but no, we saw her body. She did. She did. She gone.
Reflects me.
Right? Apparently, New Monarchy and Dead Orbit have GTFO'd. They are gone. They have completely written out factions as an entirety.
And I have mentioned in one of the channels that this was definitely a way for them to get the faction rallies out of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Permanently, or have a story justifying why they haven't been there.
Exactly. And now, I mean, faction rallies are not going to be a thing because the factions themselves are no longer in the tower. So, I mean, unless they redo faction rallies for a really different purpose, we can definitely not expect them for sure in the foreseeable future.
Right. Now, I was just watching Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire with the kiddos the other day. They could always do something like that where they did the Wizard Cup and where they could always visit if they ever bring him back, like a visiting team or a visiting faction.
I mean, yeah, but then you run the risk of having it very similar to Guardian Games, which,
right?
I don't know. It's they've always wanted to do something with the factions, but it just...
It could be a way for them to spice up the Guardian games and include it and do something with them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it would be cool, but like I said, I just don't know. It's almost like they kind of bit off more than they could chew just trying to include them and have them be relevant.
Right.
So, I mean, D1, they were kind of cool because they gave you stuff. You wore your class item to get the rep form. All cool, but otherwise, they just didn't really do anything except for like a couple like quest editions where you go see them every now and again. But Yeah, so I don't know. I think this will be for the better. They don't have to include them. They don't have to try and fit them in and wiggle them in. So all in all, it like frees up some kind of like story clutter and stuff like that. So things can go probably a little smoother, potentially. We'll see how
Right.
that goes.
Yeah, I'll definitely be tweeting out after this about the Guardian game idea and including him in like a visiting team or like
I mean, good Lord, after this faux pas, if they're even welcome. Whew.
Right.
But no, yeah, and then I was entirely, I don't know about you, but I was entirely shocked. After you finished the override, we got a cutscene.
Yes.
Like a super legit cutscene. Now, hilariously, I didn't know about the cutscene, but those lines in that particular cutscene were the subtitles I read months ago. So these are some of the lines that I was saying like would be really cool to see. And it was even better than I thought because it was a freaking cutscene.
Yes.
And it was so well done, my
And
God.
all I have to say, part of that cutscene is Osiris WTF.
I know, right? I know, like, and now I can definitely go on about the theory because there is a prevalent theory. It's an easy theory, because we do know Savathun somehow walks the streets of the city.
Right.
A lot of people are assuming she's pulling a puppet. No, she is in someone's skin right now.
I mean, it would make sense, especially because that wasn't the only time we saw Osiris acting a little, I would say, abnormal. One of the prior times it was in a dialogue when it was just Osiris and the Guardian, right? And it was almost like he was saying, "Keep this between us." And he was doing things a certain way that was kind of shady.
I mean, he's definitely like for the past few seasons, he's been ever since losing Sagira, he's been weird for sure. But and that's why it's easy for, of course, the prevalent theories to be that, yes, yeah, so Savathun is holding Osiris hostage, essentially.
And that's
And
that would
now.
make sense. I mean, if something happened during the time when he lost Sagira, and
I
it
mean,
could have
and it
happened
would be,
all in that, right?
yeah, and I mean, and it would be easy because he lost Sagira in the Crimson Court, which Savathun had her hands all over before. Like when Shadowkeep fell, or yeah, when Shadowkeep dropped, not fell, either way, whenever we got Shadowkeep. Yeah, I mean, Savathun was all over, like, manipulating the Crimson Court, or Scarlet Court. Probably Scarlet. Either way, the people that run the big thing in the moon. Oryx's like niece, I think. Somebody that crap, I can't remember. Anyway. But no, so yeah, it would be entirely easy for her to reach out and do something to a lightless Osiris. But also at the same time, like I said, it's the easy theory.
Yeah.
Like the fact that yeah, Osiris is Savathun's like skin puppet, but again, all we know is it's a theory. It fits, it does, but also at the same time, it fits a little too well. And these are the people, and like we have to remember, this is still the studio that at the time that they released an item called the Cloak of Dredgen Yor for hunters. They had in mind already that Dredgen Yor was a Titan. So just remember that. Just because it's obvious and that it fits doesn't always mean that's what's going to happen. We might be surprised, and Osiris could just be kind of a douchebag right now.
This is true. I mean, that would definitely throw it for a loop and throw everybody for a loop, really, especially
Yeah.
with the actions that they've shown in the cutscenes and the dialogue so
Exactly.
far. I mean, who
I
else
mean,
could it be?
I mean, yeah, look at how Zavala and even Ikora, like in D2 Vanilla, how much their characters like bent because they lost the light and they were vulnerable. So now we have Osiris in a similar situation. Yes, he could be an unwilling agent to Savathun, or he could just really have his entire world thrown upside down. It's an
Could be
either-or
the other
situation.
option. It could be, for all we know, same.
I mean, who knows? I doubt she can, I don't know, I doubt she can manipulate us directly, as long as we have a ghost. But I mean, also at the same time, there's a lot of people that we only know that she's in someone in the last city. There's a lot of normal people in the last city.
Right.
And right now, there's probably a lot of normal people with very weak wills in the last city. So, I mean, come on. It's kind of a it's kind of a buffet for her. But no, so yeah, we know that. Like I said, we have the cutscene, which I was definitely that guy. I'm too deep into this game because that cutscene, like, almost it brought a tear to my eye. Like it was beautiful. Like the payoff was incredible.
Right.
Because, like I told my wife, all we've known about Saint, like the very first things we heard about Saint back in D1, were his crusades against the Fallen and how much of a hero he was against the Fallen. Like, if it wasn't for Saint, like, we might have fallen to so many, like, fallen houses, whatever. Then this season flips that on its ear and shows us that, to normal, to non-pirating, Elixni, Saint is a monster. And then here we have them, like,
Side by side.
what got me? Yeah, what got me was in the cutscene, you have the one dreg. He like trips and falls. And Saint's like, get behind me, you will not die today. Like reaches down, pulls him up, gets him behind him. It's like, oh, it's such a gorgeous like payoff for the entire season. It definitely got me, and it was fantastic. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
It was definitely beautifully done. I kind of wish there was more. I love the
Yeah.
aspect of story in games, not so much just playing through it, but also getting to witness like the cutscenes and kind of like that movie style that it
Yeah.
portrays. So yeah, I kind of wanted more. I kind of wanted more out of it, and
Yeah.
hopefully. There's some speculation that we're going to get a little something here this coming week. So by the time this releases, on the podcast platforms, we're probably going to be deep in that, come next reset. Also, post epilogue, post cutscene, I saw some things and I didn't get to experience it myself. Something about a harpy, and I know it's. You can interact or scan them. I don't know if it's scannable or you can interact with it. Did you dive into that?
No, I have not. I've heard. I've not, I know about as much as you do because I did not like delve too deeply into what is being dubbed the friendly harpy.
Right. And there was some speculation. I don't know if we want to bring it up here because of course it is just speculation of it being somebody from a sunset planet
Well, I mean.
or a vaulted planet, I should say.
Here's the thing, though. I'll go ahead and say it. I mean, a lot of people think that it's Bungie's like tongue-in-cheek way of like showing Asher Mir's transformation into a Vex. But my question is, why did he turn into a harpy then, when his body was turning into something like a goblin or a hobgoblin? That's my question. And that's like the only way I can like even counter or. It's like, what? If he was turning into a harpy, why grow like a goblin arm? I don't get
The
that.
darkness. I mean, the planet was consumed by the darkness.
Yeah, but the Vex, other than sterilizing Vex fluid, the darkness doesn't do anything to the Vex.
I don't know. That's definitely a good point.
I mean, that's all I have, like, to even, like, counter such a notion is, why did he turn into a harpy when his body started a transformation? But anyhow, yeah, so I mean, that's the theory. I don't know much about it. I definitely don't put much into it. Because they have likened, there's many times they've likened Ashermir to Eris, because they're both afflicted basically by the enemy. I mean, Eris has Hive Eyes, Asher has a Vex arm. So, you know, the only difference is one was kind of self-inflicted out of necessity. The other one wasn't. Anyway, but yeah, so I don't know. I don't know where that theory, I mean, it'd be like whenever there was that whole thing of the friendly Cyclops that happened a while back. If people, well, actually, I think Asher was still around for the friendly Cyclops, so that's fair. I don't know, though.
Right.
Because, like I said, this is definitely not the first friendly Vex bug that's happened. And if it's not a bug, I would more so wonder why he turned into a harpy other than a goblin, if it is him. But I almost suspect it's a bug. Again.
Hmm. We got a lot to speculate about just beyond that, too. We got... I mean, what else do we got? I mean, other than that for Override.
Oh, I mean, we have, there's kind of so much because, again, this season leads into the next, but there's no clear cut like path to the next season, because all we know right now, and even if we get the thing people think we're getting next week, like, there's still no clear-cut path.
And we haven't gotten anything from, like, next season preview as of yet, right?
No. They're saving that for... I mean, like I said, they're treating this like Arrivals. We are not going to see anything for this season, basically, until it drops. Or until, like, maintenance just before it drops. We are not getting anything like hinting, anything like that.
It'd be either a good thing or a bad thing. A bad thing meaning they're not wholly prepared for this next season and it's going to be very late, or it's going to be packed full of stuff and they want to be they want a lot of it to be a surprise with how it ties into how the season ends.
Well, I mean, the way they did Arrivals, they kept much of it close to the vest because of how well Arrivals flowed into Beyond Light. So, like, that's definitely the, holy crap, speculation that they're keeping this close to the vest, not because of a preparation issue, but just because it makes more sense to reveal everything, but they don't want to reveal the season with the next expansion too soon, so they'll settle for revealing everything at the start of the season.
Maybe.
Makes sense to me. Yeah.
And they did have that scheduled on the day, right? It was the 24th. So
yep.
Whatever preview they had scheduled is going to be on the 24th. What time? I can't remember what time it was right offhand. What time is that scheduled for? Do you remember?
No idea.
Talk amongst yourselves. Let's figure this out real quick.
Right? To the announcement thing.
I know it's set for the 24th. And it is. Seasonal content, lead up to Witch Queen, and it'll be at 9 a.m. Pacific, so 12 p.m. Eastern. So literally, like you said, right at the launch of the season.
Yeah, so that's maintenance will actually still be happening there. Because if it's 12 Eastern.
And recently, so they basically did it right before launch of the season. So
yeah, exactly.
Eastern reset.
Yeah, so exactly. Like, main servers will go down, maintenance will start. Hopefully maintenance will go swell. And we'll have like an hour, hopefully just an hour, to speculate, you know, before everything goes live, potentially. Or chances are, like, much like Arrivals and a lot of other seasons here recently, an hour before everything goes live, then another God knows how long waiting in queues. So yeah, just to give you like a week warning. Oh my God, is that next? About a week and a half warning. Actually, when this goes live, it'll probably be a week warning. So yeah, just to give you a week warning. Yeah, about a week. Get ready for the queues.
And we do know the corgi of Mr. Tony Death in our podcast live chat. He does approve.
He approves. It's adorable corgi, by the way.
So yeah. I know we do have a lot to talk about here also coming up for the 12 release today as well.
Another meaty one.
Oh my gosh. And then somehow we're going to be able to squeeze another 2 hours because of these damn thick twabs.
hopefully this week I'm a little more capable of condensing this twab. I've hopefully learned my lesson because I definitely read through it this time. So shouldn't be quite the train wreck it was last week.
Oh, we got some part of this twab, and then I'll let you get into the main part of it. We actually got a preview of and a tweet about a day or so ago about our upcoming mods. And then I think they tweeted afterwards and made a joke about being overloaded, about the overload mods. And I guess there's some speculation of overload mods continuing into next season. Or being a, I'll let you start. Why don't you start? Start us off on the 12. We'll get into it.
Well, they give us a. Oh God, yeah, they give us because the 12 starts with a preview that they showed us. Which for some reason it is unstoppable heavy. These mods. We're having an anti-barrier auto and an overload bow. Unstoppable sidearm, unstoppable pulse rifle, and looks like a combination of unstoppable linear fusion rifle and unstoppable fusion rifle. So we're getting a twofer.
I approve of that one.
Vex might actually come in handy at that point in time. Just saying.
The only downfall that I don't like about that picture is the six basis points, I like to call her, six points for your armor to be able to equip it. It will really limit you to other armor or mod options on the armor when you do equip it.
Oh, for sure. But
it is super, it probably is going to be the one to go for with it being that high.
Potentially. Yeah, potentially. Because, I mean, right now we have a six mod. Do we? Am I lying when I say that? Because now I can't remember.
I think it was grenade launcher.
Could be. Whatever grenade launcher was.
Well, I do know the. It's not the barrier or. It's not the champion mod one. There's another one that's, I know, super high cost for the grenade launcher. It's the.
Breach and clear. That's super high cost.
But super powerful.
Also that's on your class item, though. I mean, there's really not a lot else that you're going to be running on a class item. I mean, at least. Not in the seasonal mods. Not for me, anyway.
Seasonal mods, no. But, you know, it depends on how you have your mods set up and your other armor set up, depending on what you need. Like, I think I have mine where I use the arc combo mods that buff other stats And I think my class mod is the only one that's an ARC, or one of the other only ones that's an ARC. So I've been using that for either Powerful Friends or the other one.
Okay. So, all right. That's a little more fair. Also, at the same time, you can change your ARCs or your armor's elemental affinity. So,
possibly, if they're masterworked. I think anyway. They cost a golf ball, I think, if you want to keep the masterwork and go from a different element type.
100%. Oh, yeah. 100%. But speaking of mods and, like, places to put them and, like, using mods in a specific place, rolling right into the fine-tuning section, one thing that they are changing is the traction mod.
More than just a change.
Oh, they're getting rid of it. But Raven, what are we going to do if we don't have a tighter turn radius? Well, that's going to be the good news. The good news is they're adding a sprint turn speed scalar option into the they don't say where this option is, but it's going to be an option in your settings. Potentially controller or accessibility, or probably probably wherever your like ADS settings are. So you will actually be able to set exactly how tightly you wish to turn.
Yeah, so that's going to be me like it's going to be a setting because it says controller sensitivity and traction at the title. To me, it almost they allude to it being an actual setting versus an in-game.
I just said it was going to be a setting.
Ah. You just said you weren't sure where. My listening.
Yeah, I don't know where you can tell. I don't know where they're going to categorize this setting in the menus. There you go.
That makes more sense.
Little clearer on that one. It should have been a little more clear on that one. Also, you know, controller sensitivity, like WTF, you want to go higher than 10? How about up to 20? Because screw precise aiming, right? Jesus. Now, when I read above this earlier, they're like, oh yeah, we're going to add more, you know, control, like sensitivity options. Up to 20? They're literally doubling it. And here's the thing, like they're saying 1 to 10 sensitivity will be the same as it always is. And 11 to 20 is just going to be more. So they're not changing how our controller sensitivity works. They're literally just going like beyond. I mean, they're going plus ultra with this.
I think the justification they used was they're just trying to bring it closer into line to how a mouse and keyboard would feel if you're a mouse and keyboard player.
I mean, for sure.
They're good with whipping that mouse around and... Yeah. I mean, that's all it seems to me. I don't know how good I would be on a setting like that where you're going to be whipping around the screen. I don't know, it's probably loose focus.
Now, here's the button. Like, you're definitely going to be able to counter mouse and keyboard, like, you know, what do they call them? Flicks? There we go. But you still, like... No matter what settings they add, there's not going to be the comparison of a mouse to an analog stick. It's just not possible. For me, like maybe there's some nut job out there that can rock 20 sensitivity and still like 3-tap head cannon, you know, hand cannon headshot me or whatever. That's not me though. So, which I don't know. I am kind of glad for these settings because I've kind of gotten to the point in my gameplay where I've slowly been increasing my controller sensitivity. Because I'll play on like something for a while and it's like, okay, this is still feeling a little sluggish. I need to bump it up by one. I need to bump it up by one. And I need to bump it up by one. I think I'm on like 8 now. If not 9. Might be on 9. But either way, I'm not far off from max, and now I'll just keep bumping it up until I'm happy. Whew. Oh, that's going to be something.
Also, now I got to log in and check mine real quick.
So yeah. Also, they're adding an ADS sensitivity modifier. I didn't read like how, or I didn't see anything like how this will like. I don't know how it's going to interact or whatever. Like, I really don't, because, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to affect gameplay overall. Yeah, I'm really not sure. ADS sensitivity, unless it's...
Because if you literally have it changing how fast you ADS, then what good is Snapshot?
Right. Unless this is just going to improve times overall from base to something with a snapshot on it.
I have no idea. That's something I'm definitely willing, like, curious. Eager to see how it is once they implement it. Oh, boy. And then here we go. Here we go. The nerfs, I think we've all kind of been expecting. Let's be honest here. Every shard of Galanor Hunter, every Ursa Furiosa Titan. We've been pining for the glory days of those exotics, but we've still been making it work. And they're not ruining them. That's the good news here. But they are hitting super gain exotics. Like I said, they're not ruining them. I just want to get that like very clear. But Shards of Galanor, Ursa Furiosa, Skull of Dire Ahamkara, Phoenix Protocol, Storm Dancer's Brace, which doesn't super regen right now, but it will. So,
yes, there you go. That was the one we added.
Yeah. And, okay, that one's different anyway. So, Shards of Galanor, Ursa Furiosa, Skull of Dire Ahamkara, and Phoenix Protocol, they are all capping at 50%. So you will not gain more than half a super from the exotic, which personally I feel is fair. Like an extra half a super is still massive.
Yes.
Just not as easy button as, you know, a whole super. But also considering
you still can't chain them, right? So I mean you can still get somebody who's using a whatever super they're using, let's say you're using, I always do this. I always have brain malfunction. The Warlock one, Well of Radiance, and you have some orbs that generate. Yeah. And then if you're generating orbs, it doesn't mean that it won't come back close to the same quickness that you have now. It might just be a smudge slower.
Exactly. I mean, it's only going to be a bit slower. Also, hilariously, I don't think they're changing how these exotics work, which potentially means Shards of Galanor might actually still be busted in the ways that they're busted now. Because shards are still busted. If you're in a playlist activity that gives you an increased super regen and that buff procs, like you can gain a full super in seconds. As long as you're hitting something with your shards. So, if it has a hard cap of 50%, they might have fixed that, which is going to really suck for Atheon. Just saying. But the good news is also is a lot of these, they are like Shards of Galanor, Skull of Dire Ahamkara. They're actually increasing the amount of super you get either per kill or per hit. Hit for Galanor and kill for Ahamkara. So you're actually going to be getting the half super easier and more consistently than ever before. It's only going to be a half super at most. And again, Storm Dancer's Brace, that's going to get the same treatment. Half a super. Geomag stabilizers. They are removing the sprint to top off your super. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe we can stop seeing freaking Chaos Reaches and Trials
all over the place.
No, the I found like the issue, like I think it was a couple weeks ago when I was doing trials, and I found one player that exemplified the problem of Geomags and Chaos Reach. And that was, as soon as he would get a full super, he would pop it just long enough to get a kill. Turn it off, like very quick. Pop quick. You know, pop kill off quick. Sprint around. 30 seconds to a minute later, he has another one. So that's another kill. And so, I mean, he was able to, like, chain it, like, once he got his super. And it was nuts. And it was dumb. And I got a little salty.
Only a little.
Yeah. So knowing that there was one person out there that had mastered this, I knew there were at least hundreds out there that have mastered this. So I'm glad to see that go. I'm glad to see that go. I never even got to use them for that reason, but I don't care. I'm glad to see it go. Because they specifically say this part of the perk led to a higher uptime in PvP than was healthy. Oh, God. Yes. So, no bueno. But with changing super region exotics.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. because they have told us at least some exotics that they're reworking. You know, some of these exotics that are very gimmicky, Kato. such as the Bombardiers, which sounds like a cool idea. When a hunter dodges, you leave behind an explosive that explodes. It's like another grenade. But it was gimmicky. Because it just exploded. I mean, yeah. So now, the bomb will have a secondary effect based on what type of subclass you have. So, Arc Hunters will blind people. Solar Hunters will leave behind a burning bomb. Which is a bomb with a dot. Stasis Hunters will have a slowing bomb, and Void Hunters will have a suppressing bomb. But they do specify here that this suppression will not affect a Guardian in Super. So it is not a full good. Suppression effect.
That is,
you will good. Not be. Yeah, that's actually pretty good, because it's a little nuts, because, again, a Max Mobility Hunter has, what, like an 8 or 10 second dodge timer? So if you have that kind of, you want to talk about some fun police. Oof. That would have been awful in the Crucible, I feel.
Yeah. You'd have it'd be super cheesy. You come into a hunter with and you have your super, and then all of a sudden you come out of your super because they dodged.
Exactly. It would have been dumb. So bravo to Bungie for nipping that in the bud before it ever happened. Because chances are, I'm going to say there were some high levels of salt in the development team when that was being tested. Graviton Forfeit will increase the bonus invisibility duration. The melee regeneration speed is now increased based on the number of enemies near you. And while you are invisible, your recovery is greatly increased and your weapons reload more quickly. I like this change. I do. It really adds to like the survivability aspect of using invisibility for hunters, you know, that go invisible for whatever reason. So I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, that seems like it would be a good change.
All right, so this one, the gimmick, Lucky Pants. Which I kind of forget exactly what Lucky Pants do in the first place. So, give me that hot second. See if I can go armor, hunter.
I'm just casually lucky, waiting for the Titan spot.
Pants, lucky pants. There they are. So lucky pants, precision hits load one round to the chamber of stowed hand cannons. And hand cannons ready faster and are more accurate immediately after swapping to them. It's kind of a non-exotic in my opinion. I mean, it's just gimmicky. It's sure it could be nice, but also at the same time. Well, they're changing them. Its current functionality will be replaced by something we'll get into a little later. And is being replaced with, when you ready a fully loaded hand cannon that deals kinetic damage or damage matching your subclass energy type, for a short time, each hit against a combatant from that hand cannon increases the damage of the next shot.
Nice.
Holy crap.
That would definitely make your pants lucky.
For sure. I mean, oh god. I know they just recently made changes to the 120s to where they won't be able to two-tap with small bonuses. But I mean, who knows? At the end of a magazine, these pants might actually get hand cannons to two-tap. Just saying, it's possible. So we're gonna have to wait and see
how that'll play a role in there. I mean, hand cannons are already, I mean, they're pretty strong in Crucible as it sits, but adding this perk here with this for hunters, I can see it being a widely used option.
I mean, this is kind of like Luna's Howl, just for everything,
and in some cases better.
Yeah, because, I mean, for those that don't remember, Luna's Howl, even though I don't think it really even works anymore, like it's supposed to, whatever, I'm not sure. By the way, Luna's Howl is a perk on... Was it Luna's Howl?
I never got Luna, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, and it's Luna's something. And also the Remembrance, but, yeah. If you hit two precision hits back to back, your third shot actually becomes stronger, which turned into a three-shot headshot for a 180 hand cannon, which was strong. So yeah, and yeah, Titan.
This is my jam right here.
Precious Scars. That must be a new one.
Yeah, I don't think I have that one, to be quite honest with you. It might be one that you get from the Law Sectors, and I never did my thing to grind for it.
But will now also create a burst of healing and bonus recovery around you whenever you kill an enemy with a weapon whose damage type matches your subclass type. So whatever Precious Scar just does. But here's a big one though. Icefall Mantle. You know, the one where I think it turns your wall, like you could like wasn't isn't that the one where like it turns your wall into a shield to where you're not affected by stasis or something?
So I just looked up the Precious Scars one real quick. That one is the one during the revive where you revive, you gain an aura. Where you either revive or be revived. So you have the Icefall Mantle, so you remove the slower class ability recharge scaler. Icefall, I believe I do have. And that one is the one that does the barricade that puts the overshield around you.
Okay, yeah. And like you're immune to stasis effects or whatever. So instead of, so you'll just... Because that was the trade-off for Icefall Mantle, because you get the overshield, but your next barricade came back slower, so you couldn't abuse it. And now they're getting rid of that. Your barricade will just be normal. So now you can abuse it. Yay! Surprisingly, that's all for Titans.
Yeah, it seemed a little light. Not going to lie, when you look at it, just for the simple fact you had three Hunter, and now you only got two Titan.
Right. And then following the lead, three Warlock.
Figures.
Verity's Brow. They're changing it to trigger when you get a weapon kill that matches your subclass energy type. Are you seeing the pattern yet? And their increased grenade bonus damage is going up to 20% per stack instead of 10% per stack. That's going to be pretty massive. They're doubling the benefit.
I mean, it does play to them, you know, with, you know, the changes up to this point, it does play to them wanting to make more variety instead of everything set to a select few.
For sure.
You know, key items, whether it be PvP or PvE. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, as to what the outcome is afterwards, I think it's still yet to see. We're yet to see that.
So the stag, will grant damage reduction to allied guardians standing in your rifts. 25% against combatants and 15% against players. So your regular rift will give you 15% damage reduction. Okay. That's going to be a popular pick early in season 15. I'm going to go ahead and predict that one. You're going to see that a lot in PvP early season 15. I don't know how long it'll last. I don't know how good it'll be. But that's my prediction. And then we have the Promethean Spur. They're adding the functionality. While standing in a rift, solar weapon kills give you class ability energy. It's nice. And when your class ability energy is full, solar weapon kills consume that energy and spawn a combination healing slash empowering rift at the target's location.
That is interesting.
A literal mini well. Just
right there.
Yeah.
Solar weapon kills give class ability class.
It's a little.
Yeah.
It's a little nuts. That's going to be interesting, that's for sure.
I'm wondering how that could be paired. I could see that being strong in a PvE moment.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, it's almost like, I mean, depending upon, because healing rifts aren't bad. So, I mean, yeah, for, like, you know, life-threatening. It's the only difficult thing I can foresee about it is trying to trigger it intentionally. But then you seem to be saving a weapon kill to try and, like, get that stronger rift. So it's going to be interesting, that's for sure, to see how that pans out. And now, but wait, there's more. finders, scavengers, and holsters. Oh my, but Raven, what's a holster? I'll tell you.
Well, it goes along with my handgun.
Right? So, but just give it a moment. Because ammo finders, they are changing somewhat. And unnecessarily, if you ask me. But they will now have an increased chance to spawn ammo on kills with primary weapons. I don't even use a primary weapon ammo finder.
Yeah, neither do I. I think most people are the same way. Just leaving it towards the special or heavy.
Right. But it will also have a further increased chance with exotic primaries. Now, there are certain exotic primaries. I'm looking at you, Sweet Business, where I can see that running out of ammo, and maybe considering, you know, an ammo finder for that. So I can see use of that in situations.
Probably be one of the very few.
Yeah, but yeah, it's going to be kind of niche, I feel. Scavengers. Get ready for this one, because multiple copies of scavenger mods, which are the mods that allow you to hold more reserves, will no longer stack.
No. Scavengers don't do the reserves. That's the reserve mod, right?
You're right. Ammo pickups, my bad.
Yes. Yeah,
ammo pickups.
It has to do with the ammo pickups. Yep.
Yep.
You got it.
Yep. My bad. Got it right on the second one, though. because it'll increase how much ammo you get out of a brick. Now, just run one, because they're not going to stack. Like, which, to be fair, the stacking was almost kind of like a non-benefit, to be honest, because, I mean, your massive benefit came from one. Like, most of the times you were stacking these mods, whether it be finders, reserves, scavengers, whatever, they tended to work best in ones, where the second one didn't usually have, like, anything of the effect, because of diminishing returns. But now it's just use the one, because you're not going to get any additional effect out of a second one. And now, holsters. Holsters is a new type of leg armor mod that will gradually reload stowed weapons of the matching type over time. So think of, I think it's
auto-loading holster.
Well, I mean, not quite auto-loading holster. It's kind of, it's like a reconstruction version of auto-loading holster.
Yeah, I mean, because reconstruction does it, what, I think, while you're live, right?
Well, I mean, it just does it, I think.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it matters if it's live or not, but also reconstruction loads up to double of your magazine. This will load to magazine, and we'll do it over time. These weapon types will get holster mods, and that is auto rifles, fusion rifles, power grenade launchers, hand cannons, linear fusion rifles, machine guns, pulse rifles, scout rifles, shotguns, sidearms, SMGs, sniper rifles, and trace rifles. Not included in that list of affected weapons will be Ariana's Vow, which makes sense because it has an intrinsic auto-loading holster. And rocket launchers, breech-loaded grenade launchers, and bows will not have holster mods because they didn't want to affect any weapon that has a magazine size of one. Even though, doesn't Truth have a magazine size of three? Just saying, there's exceptions to these rules, but either way.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see the holstering being strong with, oh man, I'm always going to have these brain malfunctions. There's one that's a heavy that's, I'm just going to look it up. Xenophage takes forever to freaking load, unless you have a reload mod on. But you now can have a holster mod on to not even have to worry about the reload aspect. You could basically have two holster mods on and just keep switching back and forth between weapons without having to reload.
Yeah.
Just have to go through the change animation, the gun swap animation. Which I seeing the holster mods being extremely powerful this season.
Oh well,
we're not powerful in the fact that they're going to be almost a necessity.
Exactly, and the next time they come out with or re-release Breach and Clear, if they ever do like bring Breach and Clear back as a mod, or the the next Breach and Clear esque mod, whatever mod that like reloads, because I mean this would pair. These holsters would pair so well with Breach and Clear because, especially if you're using like Anarchy to Breach and Clear something, because Breach and Clear, whenever you debuff it, whenever it hits them, it reloads your stowed weapons. So all of a sudden you're switching to a stowed weapon to do your DPS, and this holster would be able to reload your Anarchy. So that way you can pull it back out, pop another couple shots in, rinse and repeat. It's quite glorious, and they do confirm that multiple copies of holster mods of the same type will increase the rate ammo is reloaded. So that will be quite nice. And I'm actually super stoked. Just in general, like especially since double specials are becoming like more and more prevalent in certain, like, you know, boss damaging. Like, I mean, this could be like really helpful.
Yeah, I think that's a win. I think they did a good. I think with the changes so far with the mods, you know, getting rid of traction, you know, there probably wasn't really a whole lot of value, especially with the changes they're making in the settings, and adding this mod to the pool along with the other changes. It's definitely going to change, you know, the way that we're going to play the game as far as, you know, in-game activities and, you know, our choices. Hopefully it does make. Hopefully it does achieve their goal of, you know, broadening the spectrum of what will be a viable option for in-game choices here. But I do like that. I do like that mod. I think that's going to be a win, regardless of which choices you have.
All right. So, everyone, a brief moment of silence for War Mind Cell mods. Because here's the thing. They stopped sunsetting. And they had actually only planned on Warmind Cell mods to be a thing for about a year. Which lets you know how long they've had sunsetting in the works for. Because sunsetting wasn't a thing when Warmind Cells were introduced. Just saying. At least I don't think so. I could be remembering wrong, but I don't think so. So they're making some changes to Warmind Cells now that they're part of the permanent sandbox. Because they are too strong as they are. So, base War Mind Cells. They are reducing the radius of the explosion slash effect of War Mind Cells from 10 meters, and they're dropping that down to 6 meters. So not quite cutting it in half, but it's close. They're reducing the damage of the explosions drastically. It was 200 damage at the lowest, 400 at the highest. It will now be 50 at the lowest and 250 at the highest. That's going to be where it hurts.
Yeah.
Global reach. They are increasing the cost of global reach, which I believe is 1. I believe. But they are increasing that to 3. They are reducing the amount of radius increase. Apparently it gave an increase of 20. It will now only give an increase of 10 meters, that is. Cellular suppression, they're reducing the duration of the suppression effect from 3 seconds to 2 seconds, so that's not too bad. And Wrath of Rasputin, they are reducing the bonus solar damage.
This hurts.
Yeah, because it was at the lowest 100, at the highest 200. It is now going to be at the lowest 25, at the highest 100.
Yeah, best case scenario now was previous worst case.
Yeah. So it's definitely, like, War Mind Cells are definitely going to take a hit, because I know, like, again, I still haven't done a GM, but I just know from, like, looking at the GM chatter, like, War Mind Cells were the go-to. They're just what you use for higher-end, like, PvE content, like the Legendary Lost Sectors, just everything. And, yeah, this is going to hurt, and this is going to, like, throw a challenge into the cogs, so to speak. Or a wrench in the cogs? There we go. That's the wrench saying. The cogs. Yeah, that's the saying. And they are tweaking 2 elemental well mods. Elemental armaments will now have an increased chance to spawn an elemental well based on the tier of the enemy defeated. They're not really changing it, but I guess now they're taking into what kind of enemy you're killing to create the elemental well. Which will be nice, I guess. I actually never ended up playing around too much with the elemental wells, especially elemental armaments.
Yeah, I never messed with those either, as far as, you know, specking into them or seeing if there's any value there.
I mean, they can be fun, that's for sure. I when I stopped looking into them, I was using a, I think it's called Font of Wisdom, where, and I think it was like a grenade kill, where getting killed with a grenade spawned an elemental well of your subclass energy, and then picking up an elemental well with Font of Wisdom increased your super like regen rate for an amount of time. So, and that was actually like, that combo is actually pretty strong. It's not bad, but when they came out like this season with the new, was it this season or last season? Anyway, when they came out with the new elemental well stuff, I didn't really play around with it too much, even though a lot of it does look super interesting. But also Font of Might space duration has been will be increased to 10 seconds, and they're increasing the damage bonus provided from 10% to 25%, which is pretty freaking massive. Yeah, and that's armor and mod changes for season 15. Holy crap.
It's a little bit overwhelming when you just kind of, like, excuse me, when you kind of take a step back and like go through it all. It took us roughly about an hour just kind of go through that.
Yeah.
But it really is a lot to take in. And hopefully a lot of these are going to be changes for the best. Again, my hot button or my biggest take on that was the whole string mods. I think that's a win. You know, hopefully the other changes and the way the sandbox is going to be and how we're going to play the game, I think is still going to be what we're used to, but hopefully with a little more variety.
Yeah. And like I said, Warmind cells won't be like an easy out for a build anymore. Again, it kind of fits in with their whole, with the changes they're making to supers. Which also, I guess, kind of as an update, seeing Lumina talk about the well changes, he's actually kind of stoked to see, to test those changes out. So I was inappropriately dreading that reaction. That's nice. Like I was saying, they seem to be making Warmind cells kind of a very conscious choice. Like, you're definitely going to have to, like, potentially sacrifice something to spec into them. And even then, they're not going to be that strong. So that's, they're probably still going to be the best thing to use, to be honest. But it's just not going to be as great. But wait, there's more. They're already teasing us about new Iron Banner stuff. Already. They were talking about Reese Walker and Archon's Thunder, which are, you know, cool and all. Pretty nice. They're already teasing us with the new weapons of Season 15. There are going to be two of them again. Forge's Pledge, which is a pulse rifle, and the Peace Bond sidearm. I can tell you I'm not looking forward to one of these. Spoiler, it's the sidearm.
I'm not much of a sidearm guy myself.
Exactly. I mean, it looks cool. I love the look of it. I'll probably keep one because it looks cool. Otherwise, nah. I'll be interested to see what type of pulse rifle this is, though.
Yeah, like I'm definitely more interested in the pulse, but I also have that same curiosity.
Like, if I had to super hazard a guess, just from the model, it almost seems like a rapid fire frame to me, or it seems similar to other rapid fire frame models. In which case, we're kind of sorely lacking on some of these rapid fire frames, so it would be a very welcome addition. But yeah. So that's, I guess, it's set in stone. But wait, there's more. Do you remember a time when Iron Banner armor actually did something for you? Pepperidge Farm really. Remembers.
Pepperidge Farm maybe remember. I don't even remember.
I don't know. It used to be a thing like where if you, I want to say if you equip the armor, if you, back in D1, if you equip the armor and if you equip the shader and if you equip the emblem, you can get bonus reputation for Iron Banner. So you really wanted to spec out with like Iron Banner gear because it actually helped you do something. But now they're introducing new Iron Banner armor, like 100% new. This is not a re-release. This doesn't even look like a remodel. This is straight up new armor. The Iron Forerunner set. And starting in Season 15, they will be introducing the Iron Lord's Pride Intrinsic perk in this set. So wearing a piece of this armor will grant a small chance of an enhancement prism dropping at the end of an Iron Banner match. Each additional piece worn increases the chance, capping out at 4 pieces total. I really like this. I mean, more prisms are kind of whatever, because almost in this like economy, we're almost drowning in prisms. It's definitely not as hard as it used anyway. By proc balls and stuff. Yeah, but I really love the fact that what I love about it is the fact that they're taking into account that most people that play Crucible are wearing an exotic somewhere.
And it's only 4
But that's okay. Exactly. Because you have...
Yeah,
because your full armor set is 5 pieces, so full bonus is only 4. So you're not pressured in losing out of an exotic piece. You can still wear an exotic of your choice, get the full bonus for this enhancement prism, if you care. And there you go. I really love the fact that they actually, like, did that. That I love. So not so much about what it does, but just the fact, like I said, that Bungie, like, took a note of this and made it a 4 stack instead of a full 5. And more Prime Award stuff coming, blah, blah, blah. Support stuff. It's there. Movie of the week art.
The armor set. Talking about it, I was kind of thinking. Uh-oh. One thing that Destiny doesn't have, and I've kind of thought about this for a little while now, that, you know, some other MMOs have, and I'm coming from a game, you know, like Diablo 3, right? What about the we're gonna have a brain malfunction when I go to say it? Set armor. Like having set specific perks by completing the entire set. That is one cool thing that I think they could have. Maybe could give some additional powerful options, make them harder to get, making them super rare chance as far as drops. Diablo used to be like that. You used to have to grind and grind and grind to get the set pieces to drop. You know, I would be cool with something like that, having a set pieces that give you specific perks by the amount of equipment that you equip, by the amount of pieces that you equip.
On one end, yes, that would be super cool. Also on the other end, what kind of perks would they even give us for these set bonuses, though?
I don't know. You could make them exotic like perks. Could give them opportunity to make something new. Maybe increased stats to help you round out your stat. You know, your stats.
Actually, yeah, increases to stats would be pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, it could give you
that grind a little easier.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you equip 3, you get a plus 30 to, let's say, discipline. You know, if you're like right now, I spec for resilience and recovery, right? So if I want to increase for discipline to help with grenades, maybe I grind for the set to help with that. or somebody who wants mobility. You know, they could be a way for them to round it out a little bit more to actually min-max a little bit better. And maybe on your full five, you get a perk or two to go along with it for giving you the full five-set bonus.
Actually, speaking of it that way, set bonuses kind of exist.
Because
that's kind of how the ARC mods exist.
Just those two mods, but you're going to be using a mod slot, and it's not a set specific.
I mean, that's true, but also at the same time, I mean, it's the closest thing we have to a set bonus, but it also depends entirely on how many ARC mods you're using. Most people, of course, only use the two. But of course, running Aatrox and Deepstone, you're probably going to be potentially using three. So, I mean, I don't know. They kind of exist in the mod system. And they definitely can exist in the mod system. I don't know. I don't know. Because the Division, at least in that D1, they did set bonuses. Like, there were like set bonuses for specific things. And again, it was predominantly stats that would get a bonus. There were a couple pieces that made healing easier. There were a couple bonuses that made your abilities more powerful. But everything I think of is kind of handled in the mod system. And if you layer, because my only, like, just thinking as, like, the complete non-game designer noob I am, I don't know, because I can see, like, if they go far enough to make such armor desirable, I feel like they run the risk of completely breaking how stats work with the mod system. And if you introduce like an exotic-esque perk, then why run an exotic? I mean, these are just my questions like initially. And the later it grows, the less my brain wants to work. So I can't work out these questions right now for sure. But like I said, these are just like my initial questions. For set pieces in Destiny. So I don't know if such a middle ground could exist, because if the set bonuses are crap, nobody's going to go for them. But if the set bonuses are good, it's kind of bad for the overall health of the game, sort of. Or at least will be bad for overall health of the game when they have to nerf set bonuses because they made them too strong. I don't know. I'm in a weird frame of mind.
We can digress from that one.
Yeah, I'm only seeing the bad endings right now. So
no worries, I'm multitasking. I'm actually not playing the game at the moment. I'm going through and deleting duplicates, like my duplicate ghost shells that I no longer need, duplicate weapons. I'm just trying to thin it out a little bit because really there's a lot of stuff in here that I don't even use, to be quite honest with you.
That's fair. I actually need to go through my vault as well, because I had the revelation that I've got at least like three different kinetic sniper rifles just sitting in my vault. And I had the revelation a few days ago of why. It's a kinetic sniper rifle. Like, I can understand if I had different sniper rifles energy, because, you know, different elements, you know, for whatever burn or whatever, for whenever I run strikes or, you know, what that can make sense. But why don't I have like three or four kinetic sniper rifles?
No need.
Exactly. Like, at least two of them have snapshot, which I'm that guy that if a sniper rifle doesn't have snapshot, I'm probably not going to use it. Probably, unless it's a very specific situation, like my, because I have an Iklos with fourth times the charm, and high impact reserves, which kind of rivals like a slug shotgun in damage. So
I should probably look at my specs a little bit more. Like I do them as I like keep duplicates, but a lot of times when I'm getting weapons in the game as I'm playing, I'm like, no, I don't really care. I'm like, delete it. I'm not even going to bother looking. I know I don't need that weapon. I don't want it. So yeah, I'm not going to pay attention.
Because I usually have the philosophy that I try and keep interesting perk rolls. And like I said, I ended up with like four kinetic sniper rifles. Two of them at least have snapshot. I need to reduce that to one.
Now, the problem that I do have right now, and I don't know why I have so many, but I have six Fatebringers that I saved. I'm not really sure why.
Yeah, I had that issue because... Okay, I had that issue until recently, but I got super lucky in one of my recent vault runs, and I got a explosive payload Firefly. So... I was able to finally drastically consolidate. I think I had eight Fatebringers, so I was able to get rid of all but two. One of them might be an interesting PvP role. So I think it's like opening shot in Firefly, I think, or something like that, which might end up being very nice. But again, so I have like the explosive shot Firefly, and then another one that probably. Eventually, maybe going to try and PvP. So, it's good news.
So it's what now? You have like explosive payloads and Firefly. Let's see if you even have that.
That's the D1 roll. Technically,
I have ion explosive. I have kill clip and explosive.
It's not bad.
Kill clip thresh. For some reason, I don't think I really need that one.
The thresh would be nice.
Frenzy tunnel vision, probably don't need that.
I wanted to like frenzy, but I don't like frenzy anymore.
Oh, I got two. I got two explosive kill clips for some reason. What's the difference between the two?
Okay. And this is why you clean out your vault, folks.
Accurize steady, chambered or corkscrew. Tactical or steady, arrowhead or chambered. Oh man. Decisions. On that note, it probably is time to wrap it up. Any final thoughts for what we got coming up? As far as
I don't know. Unlike the super changes TWAB, I definitely don't feel as much dread. Because there were definitely a couple changes that I felt might be a little weird in the Destiny world, but I don't. This one definitely feels a little better overall, I think. But of course, then again, I also wasn't a person that really used Warmind cells all that much. So those people might be feeling a lot more dread than me. But yeah, I mean, all in all, holsters are going to be cool. I can't wait to add that to my long list of mods that I need to equip on certain armors. Yeah.
Awesome. I got too many thoughts right now. And I've already said mine, so. Not too shabby. All right, guys. What's your favorite dessert?
My favorite dessert, wait, what?
It feels like
we haven't asked it like twice.
I know, it feels like we haven't asked it in a while, and it felt fitting.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I mentioned this on. No, I did. I think I did. I think it was on a podcast that I mentioned the. Oh balls! What's it called? Oh crap!
Guardian Ghost Cast.
Oh god! It's like one of my favorite ice cream things. Drumstick. There we go.
I do remember you saying that now.
Yeah. The drumstick ice cream, which is fan-freaking-tastic. Because, I don't know, because it's a vanilla base, like I said, it's got like the kind of fudge swirls, it's got the waffle cone bits in there, it's got like chocolate-covered peanuts in there. And I don't, for some reason, I know there was a time when I was a kid that I used to like flip out for chocolate ice cream. But I found out I'm more of a vanilla guy now. So that just works even better for me. So I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
Interesting. I'll still stick with my tiramisu. Oh, man. So what do you think? Should we close it down?
It might be a good idea before I get way too far out there.
I'm with you on that one. Dez, tell the lovely listeners where they can find you.
Well, you can find me, Jelen, in the Discord. I am one at away, as people keep finding out. Much like Cato in our whenever the twab dropped and is like, hey, this thing happened. I'm like, okay. And of course I lurk on Twitter, sort of, you know, whenever Twitter decides to notify me that things happen, which it's kind of a 50-50 anymore. And I don't understand like phone applications and notifications. They seem to be getting worse. But anyhow, and Twitter is of course the home of the Hephaestus Index. Which I was thinking, I don't think has been updated because there has been no need to update it because we haven't had anything happen new. So, yeah. Send.
Soon we'll update it, I'm sure. This next season's just around the corner. Right. And if there's changes, you might see a big uptick in there and trying to update it. So.
Right.
But they can find me cleaning out my vault on the PlayStation or on Twitter at @Sin_media. You can find our show, The Guardian Hub, at our lovely website, and it is truly magical. TheGuardianHub.com.
The best hub on the net.
Nice. Don't forget to give us a like, follow, or a rating and review on your podcast app of choice. Next time you give us a listen, it means a lot to us. And thank you all so very much. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.